Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In this town, there is no off-season. The news never stops, and neither do we. It's always game day in Cleveland with Andy Baskin and Daryl Leiter.
It's always game day in Cleveland. Hi, everybody. I'm Andy Baskin alongside Daryl Ryder, a Browns beat reporter at 92.3 The Fan. We are excited to bring you another edition of kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff on what's going on, not only with stuff that we talk about at the station, but stuff what's going on in Berea as well. And obviously the hot topic this week has been Deshaun Watson again. Now, we always want to remind you that if you like what you're listening to, why don't you remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed, and you can always join in the conversation at Game Day CLE, and that's where you can reach us. All right, Daryl, let's kind of jump into the Deshaun Watson stuff quickly here, because there was the HBO special this week. There was a lot of ballyhoo about this thing going into it. I have a lot of thoughts about the actual show itself and the presentation that we saw. And we did see some compelling stuff, especially from the accusers, and I thought that was interesting, but there was just some stuff about the story that it wasn't about the content of the story, it was about the way the content was put together, and so I have some issues with that. But Daryl, let's start with you. What did you think of the HBO special with Soledad O'Brien, who did the piece?
Honestly, I learned nothing new, because they had released the most compelling cuts before it even aired, so it wasn't new information. Certainly, it's different watching the accusers tell their story versus reading their accounts. So that was obviously a little different, and you certainly respect their willingness to do that on camera. I'm sure that was not an easy thing for them to do. But as far as new information, there wasn't new information in that piece. We knew everything that was pretty much going to be said going into it, and a lot of what was recounted was part of the court filings as well. But again, different reading about it versus actually hearing the accusers lay out their experiences.
All right, within the piece, it was interesting to hear some of the stuff that we had read actually be said by someone who was in the suit and by someone who wanted to talk. And both of the women that were in the piece, I kept asking myself, why would they lie? Why would they lie? I keep asking myself that over and over, and it makes for interesting, trying to figure out what the deal is. I'll say this, and I kind of want to go outside of what this is all really about. I was kind of like, I watched that piece, and I don't have a whole lot of respect for lawyers. I don't know what's coming out of their mouths. I don't know if they're if lawyers are telling the truth or just trying to spin the story, because we know court of public opinion is where this is at right now, because there were no two no bills, there were two no non-indictments of Deshaun Watson. So that eliminated the criminal part of this whole story. So now you come back to the civil part of the story where we have these 222 cases that are sitting there, and you're trying to figure out what's going to be next and what does that mean for the NFL. I think in the big picture of this, if you're the NFL and the only piece of evidence you actually had was that HBO thing, which is not, you would say, okay, this story is a damaging story to the NFL, whether it's truthful or not. And the hard part is getting around the fact that there are 22 people in this lawsuit that are saying, look, I was done wrong by Deshaun Watson. And so when I watch this, Daryl, and I'm curious, I mean, alone, I don't know how the NFL doesn't suspend Deshaun Watson on this, because they don't have to prove anything. If the NFL doesn't like what's being said about the NFL, or someone puts the NFL in a bad light, that's violation of the conduct policy. And that's why I'm interested to see what happens with Deshaun Watson as far as the suspension. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you're right that the NFL is going to suspend Deshaun Watson, if for anything, just because the accusations reflect poorly on the NFL, and this story is going to remain in the headlines at least for another year until these cases go through civil court and are resolved. We had both of the lawyers on the station this week on the afternoon show, both Busby as well as Harden, to tell their side of the story. You're right. It is the lawyer's job to advocate on behalf of their client, Rusty Harden on behalf of Deshaun Watson, and then, of course, Busby on behalf of these 22 accusers. And I think that both lawyers are doing a good job in the court of public opinion advocating for their client. That is their job, to elicit justice on behalf of their client. From Harden's perspective, his client, who is Deshaun Watson, did nothing criminal, did nothing wrong, and asserts his innocence, right? And so that is what Harden's message was this week. Busby has these 22 women who are alleging this grotesque sexual misconduct by Watson, allegedly in these massage therapy sessions. And so because the criminal court system is not available to these women, as you mentioned, two grand juries have come back with no bills. They chose not to indict. There just wasn't enough there to do that in their view. So the only avenue remaining is through the civil court to get justice on behalf of his clients. So we heard from both of them this week as both sides tried to shape the court of public opinion. And I've got to be honest with you, with respect to both of them, I don't think either one has changed many minds. As Harden said, they've lost the battle of public opinion. Those that feel that Deshaun Watson did what he's accused of, they feel that way. They're not changing their mind. There's nothing that they're going to hear that's going to flip the opinion, and vice versa. Those that feel that Deshaun Watson did nothing wrong and is innocent of these allegations, they too, I don't believe, have changed their mind, either based on what the lawyers are saying or based off of that HBO piece.
We're going to hear from both those lawyers as they talk to the afternoon drive, and we have some cuts from that. I want to get into the piece itself on HBO. Look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know what happened, but I do know the way you put together a story for television. And there were three things that really bothered me about the piece on HBO. The first part of it was, as I was listening to the accusers, I wanted to hear what they had to say. And HBO did like an entertainment type thing to ramp up and try to hit home what was being said by using these cuts from, I think it was Houston stations or Cleveland. It was mostly Houston stations saying, 22 accusers, another accuser today, I understand what they were doing, but when you do that, that's I wanted to hear from the accusers, and they were like doubling down on the opinion of what you were getting from the piece for entertainment purposes. And I say that as a journalist. So, like, I wanted to hear what the accusers had to say. I've never seen them speak on camera. And yet, HBO felt the need, and it's an editing thing. Like, I don't know if it's Soledad. I don't know if it's the producers. But they tried to spice it up a little bit Hollywood-like. And I wasn't a fan of that. I wanted facts. I wanted to hear what's being presented. And I wanted to see the person that was actually doing that. So I wasn't a big fan of them spicing it up with throwing in local news stations saying 22 accusers, another accuser today. Okay, I get that, and I thought that started to ramp up the story. The two other problems I had with the story was the way they presented the fact that the Browns didn't talk to the accusers. Anyone that's followed the story or watched the story knows that the Browns said they were advised by their legal team to not get involved. And at this point, it was still a criminal investigation because we still hadn't heard from the grand juries on this, to not talk to the accusers. And not only do I respect that from the Browns' point of view, I respect that from the accusers' point of view. Because, you know, these plaintiffs are trying to make a case. Their job is to talk to lawyers, talk to the court, talk about deposition. And, you know, who Deshaun Watson's employer is at that point is irrelevant. And so I didn't like the way HBO presented that, the way that they kind of ramped it up and said, well, did the Browns talk to you? Even though they knew prior to the fact, the Browns had admitted right out of the gate, it wasn't legally, it was not a very good idea for the Browns to go in and talk to the accusers when deciding whether they wanted to bring Watson in or not. And I don't like the way HBO presented that. The last point, and I know we've got more to talk about in this, and I do want to hear from the attorneys, is the way they ended the piece. And when Soledad O'Brien said, because remember, they said at the end of the piece that they brought Leah Graham in after they had talked to Deshaun's attorneys, which is Rusty Harden, and said, hey, do you want to be a part of this piece? Do you want to be? And they said no, and at the last minute, they decided they want to get in. I get that. I understand that. But for some reason, they slopped together that back end of it, and you can clearly see it's an edit, and they were like, hey, when she was talking to Leah Graham, she said, we're out of time. You're freaking HBO. You're never out of time. If you want a show to go an hour and 22 minutes, it can go an hour and 22 minutes. If you want an interview to go for forever, you can do that. It bothered me, and I might be the only person in America that watched that piece and was bothered by the fact that they said, we're out of time. You're HBO. You're not out of time. You have six channels. And the way it looked like that, now the only reason, there are two reasons why she truly could have been out of time. One, they had to edit it and get in the piece so it would make air. I'm just not buying that. And two, it's because they were buying satellite time to do the interview. And the way the interview is, I don't think they did it on satellite. I thought they did it on Zoom. Daryl, I'm going to get your reaction to some of the things I said. We're going to hear from some of the attorneys. I want to get into OTAs too, because what we had, I mean, there's actual football news to get along with too. So we're going to come back. We'll regroup. We'll talk more about what's going on with Deshaun Watson. And eventually, you know, what is this going to mean? Is this going to mean that he's going to miss games, not going to miss games? We're still kind of in limbo trying to figure out the future, not only the 22 cases, but, you know, what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. So all of this is coming up on It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. He's Daryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. If you like what you're listening to, remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's always game day in Cleveland. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Thanks for being along with us. Again, we always remind you, if you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed, wherever podcasts are available to you. And we appreciate you, and we want to hear from you as well at Game Day Cleveland. All right, Darryl, so I kind of went on a rant in the last segment just about the production value of what we were watching and the ability to tell a story. Your thoughts on that.
Yeah, your job as the interviewer is not to be the star of the piece. And I felt like O'Brien ended up being the star of the piece instead of allowing those accusers to tell their story. And it felt to me like she was trying to prompt the accusers to say certain things. And that's just not how it's done. I respect the difficulty of the subject matter. I respect the accusers for their willingness to sit down, to be on camera, to talk about an experience that obviously was traumatizing for them. But when we're just talking from a journalistic perspective here, I don't think it was presented very well. And I 100% agree with you. They spent everyone knows what's going on with Deshaun Watson. You don't need to spend the first 5 minutes of the piece rehashing everything that's been in the news for the last year concerning Deshaun Watson. Get to the accusers. That's why we're all tuning in, to hear what they have to say. So I absolutely agree with your observations there. I think that, as I said earlier, it did nothing to sway the court of public opinion either way. And I already knew going in, and I understand why they do it. They put out some quotes because they want us to talk and write about it. The problem for HBO there was they released, as we call them in the business, the money quotes, right, the headline quotes. And they released all those. So when I watched that piece earlier this week, there was no new information that came out. I already knew everything, and I think that took away and did a disservice to the message that the accusers wanted to convey in those interviews. So yeah, I felt like it was a journalistic opportunity that was not maximized. And again, I understand how callous that sounds when we're having a conversation about what we're having a conversation about here. But that's, we're talking from just a journalistic perspective, picking this thing apart. We had both lawyers on the station this week. Both Harden and Busby, both of them advocated for their clients, in this case, Rusty Harden for Deshaun Watson. I thought he did a great job answering a lot of really difficult questions that I think a lot of us have about this situation. And, of course, Tony Busby on behalf of these 22 women who, you know, have accused Deshaun Watson of some pretty gross behavior.
All right, so let's hear from some of the stuff that was on during the week. And here's Tony Busby. And, you know, again, Busby is the lawyer for the 22 plaintiffs in this trying to go after Deshaun Watson. And I don't know if that's go. They go after. I don't know if that's the right thing. They are accusing Deshaun Watson of, you know, sexual misconduct and trying to settle this in civil court and not in criminal court. So I want to make sure I'm saying that correctly. But here's Tony Busby. He was on the afternoon show. And one of the big questions I've had is, how did this not go criminal? How did this not become a criminal case? And so the question becomes, how did two grand juries not indict or no bill Deshaun Watson?
The old adage is you can indict a ham sandwich. But the opposite is true as well. If the DA doesn't want an indictment, he or she will absolutely do what it takes to get that veil of protection. So nobody comes at the DA and says, you didn't investigate, you didn't charge this case when you should have. So I would suggest to you that the DA did not want an indictment.
Tony Busby, so I don't know. And I'll be honest, I asked another attorney about that, and this other attorney, who's a local attorney, said, and this was a prosecutor that told me and said essentially the same thing Tony Busby said there, that if a DA thinks they don't have enough evidence to convict, it's a hard struggle for them when they go to the grand jury and say, we need to indict this person. What'd you think of what Tony said?
Well, from a prosecutorial standpoint, they do not want to go to court without the ability to get a conviction. And if they don't have that ability, if their evidence is not strong enough, the last thing they want is to take Deshaun Watson to court in a criminal matter and Watson be acquitted. Their job as prosecutors is to plead their case in front of the jury and present evidence that will result in a conviction. That is their job. The defense, obviously, their job is to advocate the innocence of their client and get an acquittal. So, yeah, it totally makes sense that if there wasn't enough evidence, and let's be honest about it, Andy, when you're talking about sexual misconduct, sexual assault, alleged sexual misconduct and assault. This isn't just a Deshaun Watson thing. This is prevalent in these cases in general. You know, it's very difficult at times to get convictions in these cases because of a lack of evidence. And part of the reason there is a lack of evidence, unfortunately, is because women who are traumatized by these crimes, they don't report them right away, or they don't report them at all for a variety of reasons. And that inability to have that evidence ends up in a lot of cases not being prosecuted, or it results in acquittals. And so in this case, because in, you know, the either the prosecutor's view and obviously the grand jury, there just was not enough there to charge Watson criminally. And so the other avenue for these women is to sue Deshaun Watson for damages, emotional distress and things along those lines. So that, you know, that's where we are in this situation, is that just the reason he wasn't prosecuted is the prosecutors didn't have enough evidence to win a conviction. And oftentimes when that happens, prosecutors do not want to go into a courtroom with a case that they don't absolutely feel like they can win.
Yeah, I think it's one of the golden rules of being an attorney. You always have to know what the answer is before you ask the question.
Correct.
And when you look at a situation like this, it's like if they know what the answer is going to be, after they ask a grand jury the question, you know, if you know, you especially as an attorney, you better know the answer before. The other thing, too, and I think you bring up a great point, is that, and I said this in our last podcast, and it's not only women, it's men, too, who are abused. And men are way less likely to report to the police when there's abuse or and sexual abuse going on, that they won't do it, you know. And so I think that, you know, I look at these cases, and like I was listening to the plaintiffs in the case, and I was shocked, especially at one of the things that was – I've read it before, but it was the first time I had actually seen someone say it, and I'm just – I'm shocked because I don't always live in the case that we're talking about. I'm talking about – I always think about other people out there who may be abused, male or female, and how this affects them, and if this sometimes could empower them, but sometimes could also make them not want to say another word because they don't want to go through – they don't want to go through the scrutiny or the media or opening up their lives. And so it's just I always look at the bigger picture on these stories, whether it's Deshaun Watson or anybody else. So
because often what happens is the victims are put on trial. It is a defense tactic. A lot of victims just don't want to go through that again. Now the question becomes, you know, can they settle this in civil court? Certainly, I'm sure the Browns would like Watson to settle this thing. I think that the NFL absolutely wants this thing settled because they don't want this to continue to be in the headlines here perpetually over the next 12 months. And that is also something that Busby addressed on Afternoon Drive on the Fan.
First off, the release they gave us with all of the NDAs, non-disclosures, it was just not going to happen. I spent some time modifying that. And even after doing that, there were, I want to say, four women who just said, I'm never going to sign it. I'm never going to settle, period. So at first they said, to make this trade, we need to settle all 22. And then they said, well, maybe it'd be okay if it was 20. And then finally they said 18. And then I guess the deadline came and went, and that was the end of that. And since then, I am more focused on, the judge is pretty strict about her deadline, trying to get all the discovery, the work done, depositions and such by July. So that's what I've been focused on. And, you know, there hadn't been any talks that I'm aware of since. Nobody's mentioned it to me, and I'm certainly not going to raise it.
So Darryl, I think, I think right now we're at a point where that part just has to play itself out. Whatever happens in civil court has to play it out. It doesn't do anyone any good to speculate or offer opinions or conjecture about the civil cases. To me now it's about, is Deshaun Watson going to be available week one? Like that's the number one question. I say no. I think that Deshaun Watson is going to be suspended. The NFL has a lot of latitude here when it comes to the personal conduct policy. I think it's going to be very easy for the NFL to say to Deshaun, you've made us look really, really bad with these civil suits, so we are suspending you for that. Not so much for what you're accused of or what we in our investigation uncovered and think that you are guilty of, but you've given the league a black eye. And that's why we're going to suspend you. I think that ultimately, when this comes down, Commissioner Roger Goodell said they're close to the end of the investigative portion of this thing, that's winding down. So hopefully in the coming weeks here, certainly before training camp, I think we'll have some sort of a resolution. But yeah, I think that Deshaun Watson at this point probably is going to be suspended more for the negative headlines rather than what he's been accused of.
So here's my question, because this is where the new step comes in, right? This is Sue Robinson, the federal judge. So now let's say they settled today, okay? Or not settled. The league decides that they've decided, and I'm just throwing out random games, because just like you said, 8 games. Say they say 8 games. Then what happens is Deshaun's group appeals, or the NFLPA appeals on Deshaun's behalf, and now you enter into the new CBA. What happens there? Is the suspension frozen? Is it I don't understand what happens at that point.
Well, here's what's going to happen. First of all, I don't think that there will be an announcement of any kind until the process is completed, because that's typically how this works, okay?
So the NFL's process?
Yes. So
okay, not the legal process, the NFL's process.
Correct.
Okay. Okay.
Because that's what we're talking about here. So
right.
What happened is they will, once the investigation is complete, Sue Robinson will look at everything and decide whether or not he violated the conduct policy. And if that the answer to that is yes, then she'll recommend the discipline. If the answer to that is no, then we're done. That's it. There's no appeal. Right. Either, you know, the NFL can't appeal that. Okay. So then Deshaun, which he probably will because that's his right under terms of the CBA, he'll appeal whatever discipline's handed down. Once the appeal is completed, then I believe we'll get the announcement. Deshaun Watson has been suspended by the league for X amount of games for violating the league's personal conduct policy, and we're done. We're not, I don't believe we'll get an announcement that he's been suspended before the appeal process has been completed. And one of the big reasons why the league does that is to, you know, not tarnish the player, so to speak, because if the player wins the appeal, then the fact that he's suspended probably, you know, shouldn't be out there. You know what I'm saying? So
I don't anticipate
we're going to get any type of an announcement from the league until Deshaun Watson's appeal gets heard.
I respectfully try to, I don't know if that's what's best for the NFL. I like, if you're the NFL, you want, if you're the NFL, I think you need to announce that he's suspended and that it's under appeal. And that then they have the
people have a second announcement that you reduced it.
well, it's not the league that would reduce it. It's, and by the way, they're not going to reduce it. So Sue Robinson can only she can, there's really only one thing she can do. She can say, no, you shouldn't be suspended. It doesn't really matter what she says on the recommendation on the back end, based on all the stuff that I've read on this, that if she says he gets suspended for two games and the league has already said six going into it, it's going to stay six. They're not going to change their mind. And that's because the NFL has the right, Roger Goodell has the right to do that. And I almost think, like, the NFL's in a weird situation here because let's just say Sue Robinson says no suspension. Well, then the NFL can put their arms up and go, you know what? We wanted to give him eight games. We wanted to give him an entire season, but because of the collective bargaining agreement and his right to appeal, we had a federal judge who's supposed to be impartial to both sides say, no, the NFL, we did our job. We came out, we recommended what we thought was the deal, and so this is where we are here. The other part of it is if Sue Robinson comes out and says, yes, you tarnished the shield and you're in violation, I think it's four games, and the league has already said eight, the league's going to be like, no, we said eight, it's going to be eight, and that's it. It's over from that standpoint. So I think there's some optics for the league here to say, you know, you go back to that one soundbite they did play in the piece where Roger said, we're not going to stand for domestic violence, and Roger can go, we even went further than what the federal arbiter said. We gave him more games. So I do think that they need to say what the suspension is first, go to arbitration, and then come out with another verdict on this. And then you better hope that there's no new information and no indictments along the way. I do also think that it's better off that Deshaun Watson is, Deshaun Watson, if he does try to settle, and what we heard here is that there are four that do not want to settle, but if he does try to settle this case, to settle after the league makes their determination on what the punishment is. Quickly, agree or disagree on that?
Yeah, I think that would be reasonable. And that seems to be the focus of everyone right now, to get through the discovery phase of everything and meet the judge's deadline for that. And then the other part of the focus is waiting for the NFL to complete their investigation. Do they need to talk to Deshaun again? Rusty Hardin told us this week the NFL met with Watson for 3 days. Hardin also met with NFL investigators, and so it becomes a wait and see now. And again, the commissioner this week at the owners' meetings in Atlanta did say they are nearing the end of the investigative phase, and then it goes, it goes into the review and hand down the discipline portion of things, assuming there is discipline, and then of course the appeals process that Watson's entitled to.
Okay, a lot to digest there. I want to come back. I want to talk about the football impact of Deshaun Watson. So we're going to talk about that, what the players are saying about him, how camp looks, what's the feel in Berea with him being there. So we're going to hear about that when we return. It's always Game Day in Cleveland. If you like what you're listening to, remember to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. You hear that? Your dog knows. Spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's petmeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
It's always Game Day in Cleveland. He's Darryl Ryder. I'm Andy Baskin. Thanks for listening. And again, if you like what you're listening to, subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed. Like us, give us like 1,000 stars, whatever you want to do. We appreciate all the feedback. And you can also hit us back up at Game Day CLE. Darryl, let's just, I want to talk about Deshaun Watson, the player, right now, because we haven't spent a lot of time on that. And his impact, because you were out there in Berea, his impact on the team, all I keep hearing is the players love him, they're glad he's there, and it changes part of the dynamic of what we've seen as an offense. Is that true, what I've heard?
Yeah, most popular guy in the locker room. And look, I mean, when you talk to anyone, player or coach, about Deshaun Watson, there's not a bad word to be heard about him as a player, as a person. He is beloved and very well respected, and that was very apparent. Now, Deshaun Watson, similar to Odell Beckham Jr., is very, very generous with his teammates. He interrupted Anthony Walker's press availability to give him a gift. The gift ended up being a very nice Rolex watch as a thank you, presumably because Walker gave up his number 4 to give it to Watson. Walker will wear number 5 this year. But, you know, just watching Watson's body language on the practice field, I'm not even just talking about his talent, just watching him interact with people. He's got very good people skills when he's on the field. He, you know, hugging teammates, dapping them up, talking to them, laughing with them, you know, making, you know, guys feel really, really good about what they're doing out there on the field. And then, of course, there's his talent. But, yeah, I mean, considering that everything that is swirling around him in his personal life, which we have been discussing, he's done a tremendous job separating that from the football aspect. And I thought Greg Newsom made a very good point about that this week, when he basically said, hey, Deshaun's job here is to play football, not to tell us about his personal matters. He, you know, leaves those outside, handles those with his family, but when he's in this building, he's about the work. And that was pretty much the message from everyone that we talked to this week, that whatever's going on in Deshaun's personal life is his business. It's not our place to grill him about it or to talk to him about it. He's here to play football. We're here to play football, and that's what Deshaun's doing, and he's doing it very, very well. So, he is. It is very, very clear how he has already ingratiated himself with his new Browns teammates.
How about with Kevin Stefanski and how this offense might look with him? I have like my foot's on the gas and the brake at the same time, wondering, you know, about his ability to get on the field and when we'll actually see him during the season. But if you're Kevin Stefanski, your thoughts are what on Deshaun Watson? And I know we heard from Kevin earlier in the week too.
Well, you know, he's proceeding as if Deshaun's going to start week one. We'll see if that ultimately happens, but you can see some different things and different wrinkles that he's got in there with Deshaun. I don't want to give too much away just out of respect for the competitive aspect of this thing, but it's plain as day, Deshaun Watson's talent and the different wrinkles he's going to be able to bring this offense. And it really does look to me as if Kevin Stefanski is trying to accentuate those talents, which is what good head coaches and coordinators do. You know, the subject of rust came up because, of course, Watson did not play in 2021. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think that there's any rust. I don't think that's going to be a problem. Deshaun did not. Now, they're in, again, we got to temper the enthusiasm. The Browns always win the Super Bowl during OTAs in the minicamp. I understand that. But I'm just telling you what I see with my own eyes. And it's just the talent jumps out at you immediately. Not a flutter in the football coming out of Deshaun Watson's hands. I mean, you are talking tight spirals, whether it's just a short crossing route or he's launching it 50 yards down the field. There is no shotgun needed to put that duck out of its misery when Deshaun Watson throws a football. I mean, it is just a beautiful sight to behold, to watch the ball come out of his hands the way it does. And it's on target. Even when they're running the half-speed stuff, like timing and half-speed drills is extremely hard because they're going half-speed.
Right.
And I did not, let's put it this way. I can't tell you how many times I've seen Browns receivers have to slam on the brakes on routes to wait for footballs over the years, right?
Right.
Didn't see that with Deshaun Watson this week. I mean, receivers were catching footballs in stride, which is kind of how the way it's supposed to be. They were catching it off the back shoulder or off the front shoulder, and just the accuracy, the pinpoint accuracy was on. Again, they're in shorts and shirts. They're not in pads. There's no contact. There's no fear of him getting laid out by a defensive end or a linebacker. I understand all that, all of those things. But, you know, it was a very positive first impression from a football standpoint that Deshaun Watson has made. And clearly he's made an incredible impression and impact amongst his teammates.
All right, just even watching at half speed with really, you know, no contact, just do they need to get him help at wide receiver? That do they need to upgrade? Like, I don't even – what did Amari Cooper look like this week? And then I know there were also some veterans that weren't there. But when you watch this wide receiving court, yeah, I mean, you talked about it, and it didn't seem to matter whose name was on the back of the jersey.
Well, it's one of the questions that I ended up asking Kevin Stefanski is, you know, does this say more about Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz – that, you know, the team has not gone out and brought in a veteran receiver, right? And
right.
Stefanski said, well, I don't know what it says, but, you know, from our standpoint, we're very comfortable with the guys that we have and these young guys, that they can go out there and do the job. So, and I've maintained that all along, that you look at what Andrew Berry has done at that position, they're going to give these reps to these guys, because I think that organizationally, quite frankly, they have to find out if Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz can do it. David Bell, I think, is going to have the opportunity to have some impact. We saw a lot of him in practice too. So, I don't think that I don't think that they need at this point to bring in a player for the sake of just bringing in a player, because they really have to evaluate what they have.
Daryl, it's been fun. It's never-ending story of drama when it comes to the Cleveland Browns, and we'll talk more about it next week. Want to wish everybody a happy Memorial Day. I hope you get to take time to spend time with your family and maybe enjoy some halfway decent weather this weekend, although I do think we're looking at rain. But, Daryl, happy Memorial Day to you, and I also want to say that as well to Meredith. And so, Meredith, we'll drop a little bit later next week, correct?
Yeah, we might have a slight schedule change next week because of the holiday, but we will still release two episodes as we do every week.
Well, that sounds good. Meredith, thank you very much. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Daryl, and we appreciate everybody listening. For Meredith Kane, for Daryl Ryder, I'm Andy Baskin. It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. If you like what you're hearing, make sure you go to subscribe to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland feed. Remember to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. We love being with you, and we love your feedback as well. If you want to be a part of a mailbag somewhere down the road, at Game Day CLE. Thanks for listening again. We appreciate you. It's always game day in Cleveland.